What'd you say to love your brother? Hey now, what'd you say to love your sister? Hey now, what'd you say, you front's good teacher? Gotta love, gotta love, gotta love, gotta love, gotta love.
This is Lala Bialy.
Born in Brooklyn, 49. Lived on Lincoln all this time. Landlord wants him out tonight, but truck won't leave without a fight. Full of laughter, full of love. If you knock him down, he's gonna get back up. Knows the law, gonna set him straight.
Many of you will know the name Lala Bialy. You might remember her from such shows as... such a Simpsons thing or something, isn't it, Tim?
It is, yeah. Troy McClure. That's you might remember me from such.
That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, Lala Bialy, this is the story I tell all the time about Lala Bialy. Lala Bialy went to school to learn how to play piano. She ended up playing it really stinking good. And then Sting hired her to sing. That's my summation of you.
Those are the bio points right there.
Is that it?
That's it. You summed it up. Yeah.
And then she ended up hanging out with some guy named Ben.
Hi.
Hi. And then Ben turns out to be kind of a big deal himself. And then they had a prodigy.
Oh, a.k.a. Joshua?
Yeah.
Joshua. That's
congratulations
our son. Thank
you. Having Ben as a husband and Joshua as a son. And to having Susan as a sister.
Yes.
I tried really hard. To punk you today.
You did?
Yeah, I was texting with Susan.
You texted with Susan?
What the?
You guys
the
didn't have a texting relation? Okay.
No, easy.
Right. Oh, hey.
Easy. No. Whoa.
Exclusive. Drew Marshall show.
Anyway, I tried to get her to kind of sneakily phone in because I was going to do this to you.
Oh,
I do this to
on.
A lot of guests. I kind of do this. I was going to say, so your sister's a bit weird, eh? Like, she's just not, I don't get it. You know, this doctor thing and this, let's change your life stuff. And, you know, and, you know, I was going to throw her under the bus with her being secretly on the line to see how you responded.
How I would react. Oh,
yeah.
My gosh.
Yeah.
I would probably just stutter and stammer and, no, I would defend her because she's awesome.
Susan, are you listening?
Yes. No, she's at a birthday party. Apparently, she's the only adult invited to a children's birthday party. So I said, just tell a fart joke and you'll be fine.
She has a few of those.
And then she said, your family doesn't cope well with the F word.
That F word. Yes, that's true.
No.
We were charged $1. There was like a...
Yes.
If you burped or farted or did something that was not kosher...
Seriously?
In my mom's view,
you had to
pay the bank.
I need to be a millionaire to get through my life.
You could get into debt fairly quickly as an 8-year-old.
The raven-haired musician has won awards... SoCan Composer of the Year, Keyboardist of the Year at Canada's National Jazz Awards, and played the world's most prestigious venues, North Sea Jazz Festival, Tokyo's Cotton Club, Carnegie Hall. She's toured with Grammy Award winners. Do we have to go through the names? Chris Botti, Paula Cole, Suzanne Vega, and recorded with an international icon, Stung?
Sting.
In short, she's established herself as one of Canada's Canadian jazz's brightest young stars. Let's stop right there for a second. First of all, you're no longer a bright young star.
Oh, dude, thin ice, bro.
Gone from emerging to submerging.
Submerging artist.
Yeah.
No, what I'm trying to get at here is you've just created this beautiful brand of Like, I play your music incessantly, and I don't do that with a lot of artists, with many artists that come on the show. Remember, when we were talking the other day, I had one of your songs as an earworm I couldn't get rid of. And now you've gone and changed. You've gone and you've changed your genre. You've changed your focus. No, dude, you brought the funk out here.
That the funk was always there. I think, like, I grew up, I think I may have even said this before, proudly listening to Michael Jackson, not so proudly listening to Milli Vanilli. So the faux funk, real funk, has always been there. And, you know, jazz dovetails with soul and gospel music quite effortlessly.
Yeah.
And so I think that we're just leaning maybe on some songs a little bit more into the jazz gospel realm.
What's with the pants?
Oh, the striped pants?
Dude, those are phenomenal pants. I want to know where you got those.
I have a stylist, Drew.
They're mine.
Ben. Wears them to bed. Yeah. Yeah. I have a New York stylist because I don't have natural style and branding, you know, the big B word. That's a thing now for musicians and for those who aren't born, you know, with Converse and an asymmetrical haircut.
We
need stylists and...
Converse, asymmetrical haircut. Right there, Ben. You want to catch Lila before she heads out on her European tour, because she will be touring Europe. October 23rd, you want to go to the Rose Theater in Brampton. And November 3rd, the Etobicoke Jazz Festival.
Etobicoke, also known as Etobicoke.
At the Odeum. The Odeum. I don't think
not the movie theater. You guys tagged a movie theater in Texas. Go to Texas.
Who tagged a movie theater in Texas?
Not me.
Social media person.
Yeah, let's blame Amy. That's what we do here. Or Alex.
It's on Lakeshore Boulevard, not too far from my alma mater, Humber College.
Okay, somebody was on our show earlier.
Yes.
You heard?
Well, you know what? I heard a tiny bit of
Andrea Randall.
What I heard was a little bit of you interviewing Jason Carter. He just performed, and you said, I wouldn't usually listen to that at home.
Yeah.
But you said here in person,
it's totally,
you're transfixed. Yeah.
No, I want to go to Andrea Ramelow. Apparently.
Okay.
No, actually, sorry. The connection is with you.
Sandra.
Yeah, Sandra. Sandra, there's a connection with you and Andrea Ramelow and your sister and her. And good talk. We'll talk to you later. Okay. Andrea was a musical guest earlier on the show.
Fun.
And so there's been a lot of artistic things happening. Last time you guys were here, you filled up the studio.
Yeah.
Ben, you were banging away on your...
On the djembe.
On the djembe.
Yeah.
Lila, you were banging away on your keys and your vocals. And then there was another really good-looking guy.
Bald as well, right?
Yes.
That would be George Kohler.
There's a theme happening.
Yeah.
And George Kohler. You know what we should do? Can you write down...
Converse?
Can you write down his phone number, please? Because we want to get his answering machine.
Okay? No.
We want to hear that answering machine live.
You're actually going to... Oh my gosh. But what if he picks up?
Well, then that's even better.
It's even better.
Because it's George freaking Kohler. Who is the bass player of Canada.
George, he's Canada's... I'm apologizing in advance, George.
He has the best voice message, by the way.
He's going to be with me.
It's
416.
No, don't say it out loud.
I can't say it. I'm sorry. For everybody
that's listening.
I think this is it. I'm pretty sure this is it.
You're pretty sure? Who else are we going to call?
Well, it's his home number versus mobile, and they're both
close. We don't need
that. Okay, sorry.
Okay, here you go.
George.
So the amount of talent in this room, that if you're not a musical aficionado, you're not going to really get it. Ben, let's say this. Lila, what is your husband's claim to fame? What is his... When you name drop him, what do you say?
He has worked with Paul Simon.
Simon.
Which is pretty awesome.
Okay.
And we actually met playing with Paula Cole. And we together played with Sting. In fact, we had one... There was one event where it was just you and I in the band. And Sting was playing bass and singing. And we were like, this is... so crazy.
Mm-hmm.
It was a private thing in New York City. So that's Sting is among his claims to fame. Mm-hmm. What else, Ben? What else would you say?
Roseanne Cash is another one I worked with a bit. Yeah.
We had her on the show as a guest recently. Okay, now actually you do need a set of headphones. Where's the other set of headphones? Have a listen. Here, put those on. Let's see if we can listen to George's answering machine. Can you hear anything? Can you hear it?
It's ringing.
George, please answer.
No, we want to listen to his answering machine. All right. This is George Kohler's answering machine. This is a big buildup. This better be good. Good night.
Did he turn it off, maybe?
Here we go.
But maybe it's his home number and not his cell.
Lila, this was a big setup.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's
if
worth
I
it if
this.
It's the
George's cell phone. I'll get back to you right away.
Oh, wrong number. Hang up on that.
Listen, though. Oh, he changed it.
Yeah.
Oh, it used to be so much better.
It was so much better.
You know, we should have probably worked that bit a little, like massaged it a little before we did that live on radio.
Oh, man.
Lila,
you should hear him play bass, and you can.
What I want to do is I want our listeners to hear another track of yours.
Oh, sure.
Okay? So do we have something that we can go to here on
right now?
Yeah.
Upside Down? I know that's one of your faves,
that's my
fave,
yeah.
But we want to do new stuff.
A little
there we
groovy.
Go. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Lila Bialy. She's here in studio with us, and she's also with her. Have a listen.
Leave your work, no worries behind. The night is young with
starting to sound like a George Kohler answering machine there.
Well,
business,
yeah.
Business time.
It's business time. That's some baby making music right there. Lila Bialy, award-winning recording artist, live in the studio with us. Sorry about the ears there, Ben. I just decided to perk up.
He's used to it. He's married to me. Right? He wears earplugs all the time.
Why do you... It's just you and your sister, right?
No, there's four of us. I was meant to be a boy. My parents only had me because I was at their one chance at a little testosterone in the family. So, other than my dad, of course.
Yeah.
And they had a name selected and everything. I was going to be called Mark. And
Mark from now on.
Yeah. And out I came, a girl. So
maybe it just broke off on the way out or something.
Gosh.
Okay. So speaking of babies, 29 years ago, almost 30 years ago, I got my girlfriend pregnant.
Oh, you? Okay.
And then we got married and we stayed together for many, many years. Mm. And it was back in a time where, especially in the Jesus scene, if that happens, dude, you got to get married, right? It's called doing the right thing. My daughter and I had a conversation recently, and I said to her, look, I'm not going to, you know, you're 25. Whatever you got going on in your brain as far as rights and wrongs, I'm done with. That's your deal now. Mm-hmm. But I'm just letting you know that if you find yourself pregnant, first of all, please know I will do everything to help your world in that scenario. You will get zero judgment from me. Zero. Mm-hmm. And I did that out of support and love, et cetera. But I think so many people decide to abort based on panic and fear. And and I'm not trying to get into any abortion conversation or anything, but I was adopted. So being adopted, man, I'm thankful that I even have life. And so the order of things, especially in the Jesus scene and the religious world and morals and blah, 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 blah. I think I just, that's Greek for morals, that sound that I just said there. With you guys, Josh is here, man.
He's here.
And he's got the greatest hair.
Totally jealous of that kid.
And he's how old?
He's 8.
Where the heck did that go?
I know. No, I know. I know. It's so cliche, but where did the time go?
Did you have anybody pronounce judgment on you? Because, you know, there was no correct order?
Well, you know what was interesting? I would actually say this. So Ben and I, you know, have very different upbringings. And when we met, I was in my mid-20s. We were both working with Paula Cole. And I had been through two really tricky dating relationships with Christian men, who shall remain unnamed.
Steve.
And exactly, no.
It's always
no,
Steve.
No, there wasn't a Steve, but you're, monosyllabic. Well, actually.
No, stop.
So, anyway, and both lovely guys, you know, we've remained friends or, you know, friendships have been reestablished. But anyway, Ben came along and he was like a breath of fresh air.
Yeah,
he didn't subscribe to the same faith, for lack of a better way of putting it. You know, we didn't believe the same thing.
Yeah.
And yet, there was in some ways more grace and beauty and kindness and gentleness and, you know, a lot of the fruit of the Spirit in his way of living and thinking. I was so compelled. And he was so supportive that he would come to church with me. I was working at a church in New York City called Redeemer Presbyterian, Tim Keller's church, which leans
conservative
on the spectrum. But Ben came, and we actually started seeing a Christian counselor together, if you can imagine. And we were working through these issues of, like, differences in belief. And I remember being handed documents and written sermons by Tim Keller on not being unequally yoked. And I actually ended up so mentally unwell because of that cognitive dissonance, feeling, you know, really like I was in love with this man and he had become my best friend. But then, you know, many of my closest friends within my Christian community were like, you can't do this. This is not right. And I, you know, and I was conflicted. I felt conflicted. I was unsure. And we were struggling with boundaries and yada, yada. Eventually we did, you know, we got pregnant out of wedlock, and here I was with these two church positions.
Let's just talk about the term wedlock. Anyway,
what
yes.
What is the etymology of, yeah, exactly. And you know what was really neat, Drew? From my family to those friends, you know, aforementioned friends who were skeptics where Ben and I were concerned, the moment we were pregnant, they actually really did gather around.
Beautiful.
And say, we will support you. There were a couple of voices still of protest. And, you
protest.
Know, one sister who now loves Ben to pieces, said, you know, at the time was saying, you have no redemption but to give this child up for adoption to a Christian family. And, you know, to stay separated from Ben and find yourself a good Christian man. And anyway, but she's since come around, and it's kind of, I don't know, it's challenged all of us. Even the pastor who married us, you know, there was a pastor who agreed to marry us in Vancouver, and it was kind of, he gave us his terms, and it wasn't, you know, they weren't meant to be punitive, but it was just, he said, if you guys would agree to, you know, sort of pursue post-marital counseling, because he was a pastor who would usually offer premarital counseling to couples that were he was marrying. And so we agreed to that, and we actually ended up meeting with another Tim Day, who was at the meeting house at the time, and
good,
he was
good
great.
Canadian kid.
Yeah, yeah. And so everybody at that point embraced us with arms of grace. And they were like, you know what? This is their human story. Mm. And I've never looked back. And our marriage is so wonderful and healthy and beautiful.
Look at me.
And Josh,
look at me.
I'm looking at you. I mean, we're humans, so of course we have to work through struggles.
Okay. Because I was just about
awesome
I was just about to drop a what you talking
and
about
I don't
Willis
mean to be bragging.
On
yeah,
you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, no.
Well,
Ben,
we disagree about the tempos of songs. Again,
yeah, that's
some
right.
Stuff like that.
Ben,
hard.
Let me ask you. And this is horrible because we're running out of time here. But I'm going to put the label outsider on you, and I put that on you affectionately because I like outsiders. Our theme song for the show is Outsiders.
Yeah, yeah.
You're, I guess, for all intents and purposes, considered sort of an outsider to the evangelical Jesus scene. True story?
I suppose so. I mean, as a drummer, I've always been an outsider to
to everything.
To everybody.
Yeah. You and goalies and punters,
yeah,
kickers.
No, but I have to, I mean, I guess that to really answer that honestly, I mean, I guess technically I could be considered that way, but the way I've been met and embraced by everybody, you know, that's certainly in Lila's world.
Yeah.
And you all and really everybody, I've never, ever been made to feel an outsider. So it's actually like a hypothetical that I've never experienced.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because I was going to ask, what did it feel from your point of view having Lila's peeps pronounce judgment on you?
Yeah, it's weird. I know it's funny. Maybe it's a way of, you know, the way things were meant to work. I didn't feel that. You know, like I know that Lila had a couple of close friends that I sort of sensed that she sort of was processing with, but I never felt, you know, for lack of a, you know, colloquial, dissed by her peeps. It was yeah. It was always...
But he
you
felt
know.
The turmoil from me.
Right.
You know.
Well, and I witnessed the turmoil in
the impact it had on her.
Yeah, yeah, but again, I never felt that it was directed at me. Like I never thought like you know, Lila was sort of projecting that towards me as a way to make me feel that I should be thinking about a certain perspective on life or religion. It was always, I just could see her going through it. And, you know, that felt really bad about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I felt for her, but.
Did you know we were going to talk about this? No.
Nope.
Okay.
No.
I'm sorry. It just dawned on me when you guys were sitting here. And here's the other
real.
Thing. No, but here's, that's it.
Yeah.
With you guys coming in the room, like, Ben, I don't know you. You don't know me, but
I'm your brother.
Sorry. No, I just feel like there's an authenticity here with you guys
yeah.
that I really appreciate.
Aww,
and
thank you.
Yeah, it's real.
And I also like your music. So
thanks.
There you go.
Thanks,
style.
Drew.
You want to catch Lila again before she heads out on her European tour? Where are you going over there, by the way?
We're
going
to play Vienna, where Ben's dad was born, November 8th, and then his birthday's the 9th. And then we head to Hereford, Germany, and Leverkusen. And then
isn't that like pantyhose? Yeah. What is that?
Lederhosen. Oh, sorry. No, Leverkusen. It is in the mountains. It is very German. And then from there, I'm going to play for the first time at London Jazz Fest.
Wow.
And Josh is coming with us. So this will be his first time in Europe and first time on the road with us in this capacity. So that's exciting.
Well, before they leave, though, go check out Lila Bialy at the Rose Theater, Studio 2,
yep.
I believe,
mm-hmm.
in Brampton. That's October 23rd. It's coming up. Get your tickets now.
Yay.
And November 3rd at the Etobicoke Jazz Festival at the Odeum. The right Odeum.
Yeah, Lakeshore Boulevard.
Okay.
Not Texas.
Yeah. We're going to go out spinning another track because we want more of Lila Bialy on the Drew Marshall Show. Thank you, guys. I know it was a hustle to get down here.
Oh, thanks for having us.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll talk about more after once we go to break.